823, Ron House, President, John A. Logan College. Morning, my friend. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Good morning to you. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, I missed talking to you last month, so I got to make up for it today.
All right. That's fine.
I'm curious about this, Ron, more than just a little bit. The effect of COVID-19, all right, we're 9 months into this. In two areas that I'd like you to describe the effects it's had on your institution, enrollment, students, and the financial impact. Let's talk first about the students. What's been the impact on, well, say, for instance, enrollment?
Well, enrollment is kind of a up and down sort of thing, even in good times. And so it's hard to equate a particular incident on enrollment and say this is the total cause. But in this case, I can almost assure you, we were down about 11% on our 10th day enrollment. I would dare say that almost all of that is due to the virus. And it's not due to the virus because our students have the virus. It's an indirect relationship. It's changed the way that we teach. It's changed the way that we have class. It's changed the way the students have to learn. And so as a result of the changes that we've had to make because of the virus, we've lost some students. And that's unfortunate. It was true in the spring. We had people drop out in the spring. We were down about 10% in the summer. We're down 11% in the fall. I don't know that we will be down nearly that much in the spring, but I don't think the virus is going to do anything any different in the spring. It seems like it's going to be here for a long time. And so from the student standpoint, it certainly has cost us some enrollment. From the financial standpoint, obviously, those 11% that didn't come here didn't pay any tuition and fees and that sort of thing, and they did not generate any semester hours. And so the long-term effect of that is a net loss of revenue. Now, we have had, as a result, some increased expenses, as you might know. And if you come to campus, you would know, because we have a tent set up. Two lanes of traffic go through that tent, and everybody that comes to campus gets screened. And whether you're a visitor, a student, an employee, or whoever you might be. And so we've done a number of things that cost us some money. I would say this with regard to that. We have received a substantial amount of federal money to offset those costs. And so many of the changes that you see on campus in what we're doing are being picked up by the federal government and in some cases by the state government. So the net loss of revenue is basically from student loss of revenue, not as a result of increased cost to the institution to fight the virus.
I think that's good news. Yeah, that's really good news.
But the fact remains, the short answer to both of your questions is, we have lost enrollment, and we have increased costs, and we've lost revenue as a result of that. And so does that put us out of business? No, it does not. We're fine in that regard. But it has impacted both our revenue and the number of students that we have in a negative way.
Hey, I'm curious about something. And Brad Robinson and I, the mayor, had been making sure we got some messaging on here at News Radio WJPF about the traffic on the west side, and that's in, and then out on the east side. Did that system work?
It's worked beautifully. The campus is ideally laid out for this kind of thing. And so all the traffic comes in off of Greenbrier on the west side of campus, goes wherever we need to go on campus to do our work, take our classes or whatever. And then when we exit campus, we exit on the east side, which has one exit on the east side, one entrance on the west side. And if you go to lunch, when you come back in on the west side, go through the screening again, and do whatever you got to do. And so it has worked very, very well.
Especially if you're the Subway sandwich shop.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of an imposition, and sometimes there is a little bit of a line, but gosh, the line moves awfully fast. You're not going to sit there more than 3 or 4 minutes, for sure. I've never sat there that long, but I get here pretty early. And so it's a great system. we've actually turned some people away who did not pass the screening, and they have to then do whatever they do to prove to us that they're okay. And some of them are, and some of them are not. And so it has worked. Now, does somebody get through this that's actually a positive with no symptoms? Maybe. Maybe so, but we don't know of that. So we're pleased with all of that, Tom.
You know, I was recently speaking to the community college board president last week, matter of fact. Brian Durham, you know him?
Yes.
And, you know,
Executive Director, IBHE.
Yeah, the Executive Director. We were talking about, you know, that this is going to change the job market. And what's interesting with community colleges, they've always been looked at as the rudder when it comes to changing a boat's direction, the community employment, by being able to get, as we've used the term, fleet on their feet, find the new skill that is needed in a community and start to meet that need, whether it's displaced workers because they've lost their job with one thing or another, or whatever the case. Do you see that changing at John A. Logan College, that you're going to start looking over the horizon a bit, see if the COVID-19 pandemic has changed the job market and that you need to pivot with it?
Well, we are pivoting with the change in the job market. I don't know how much the virus has changed the job market at this point. It's changed the number of jobs, without a doubt. But I don't know about the job market. But we are making plans as we speak. By action of the Board of Trustees last week, we are going to improve our vocational, what we used to call vocational, now we call it career and technical education. We're going to improve those facilities. We're going to consolidate our CTE, career and technical education, and that is the wave of the future for community colleges in the state of Illinois. And if there's one area of this college that has been sort of on the back burner, it's the CTE area. For many years, CTE was sort of the stepchild, and people came here mainly to get 2 years and transfer and do something else. That's no longer the case. We have a number of people that don't make 2 years here because their programs don't require 2 years, and they have a job generally waiting for them when they leave here. We have some that don't even finish the program and get a job. Our welders, if after a course or two, are employable at about $25 an hour, and so students say, you know what, I think I'm going to work a little while and come back to school later. And so, yes, we are adjusting to the job market by improving our facilities and our resources and making our programs more relevant.
Are you training tracers, contact tracers for local health departments at John A.?
We are not. We looked at that and decided, maybe wrongly now the way it turns out, but we decided that the virus is not going to be around very long. To start a program, hire faculty, et cetera, is a commitment. And so we thought, and we still do, actually, that it probably is not long-term enough to really sustain a program. Mm. Other colleges have done that. I don't know about colleges in the area, but I know colleges up north, some of them have done that. And it's fine. It's good. We just didn't make the commitment on what we thought was a short-term activity. May turn out to be a longer-term activity than we thought, though.
Right. Well, I've seen the rousing response that SIU's had with their nursing program. I'm assuming same with you, because you just talked about welders, and suddenly they're employable, and they're like, I got a job. See, same thing happens with you in the nursing program. In particular, I believe the last person I took was a phlebotomist. And somebody's knocking on your door the next day.
Yeah, phlebotomy is a little different than nursing. Nursing, our students don't drop out and start nursing. They've got to finish the program to take the state test to be certified. And so they finish the program. But we have a tremendous demand for all of our healthcare occupations, and especially nursing. And we're giving some very serious consideration right now to increasing our enrollment in nursing. But the healthcare area is here to stay. It is the growth area, even in rural southern Illinois. It's the growth area on a long-term basis for us. And so we're deeply involved in healthcare, and we'll continue to be involved.
You know, when it comes to things that have been affected by the pandemic, sports across the board, whether it's high school, community college, SIU, doesn't make any difference at all. And, you know, when I think about the sports program first, your history of excellence with the program, right? That's easy.
Yes.
But at the same time, it has a role of keeping you. I mean, if you search John A. Logan College on Google, you'll start getting sports stories very often at the top of the pile. It keeps you in people's consciousness. It's a way of marketing, among other things. Sure, it's an opportunity in scholarships, whether it's golf or basketball, men's or women's. But it has another role. So when you're missing sports as part of the mix, does that cause a bubble in your airline, your fuel line, when it comes to keeping the college powered when it comes to students?
It has not yet. We have a full complement of athletes. They're practicing their head off, but they're not playing very many games right now, and not scheduled to do that until after the first of the year. And so it's just a bleep on the radar at the moment. But you and I have talked before of the value of sports, not just for the college. It's extremely important for the college, but it's extremely important for those individuals. And you learn everything from teamwork to support and how to do this and how to do that. You also how to learn how to win, and you learn how to take a defeat too. And all of those are life experiences. And so athletics, I'm absolutely convinced, is a great thing for this college. But it's a great thing for those individuals that go through it as well.
John A. Logan College President Ron House is joining us this morning. You know, as time goes by, and I've had the opportunity to speak with more people about the fire you experienced, it's weird how I began to reassess it in a way. And if this sounds stupid, I want to apologize in advance. But as I talk to more people who are involved in the cleanup, I get the idea this fire was exceedingly dirty, that it really left a big black smoke billowing cloud. Am I off base?
No, you're pretty close. You're not exactly right, but you're pretty close. We call it fire. It really wasn't much of a fire. There was a little bit of a blaze in the room where that transformer was, and that was on the floor where insulation off of wiring had melted off and combusted and actually was flaming up. The entire fire was put out with a fire extinguisher. The problem was that there were many, many electrical wires, as you might imagine, coming into that transformer, which was the source of power for not all of our campus, but most of our campus. And those wires, when they melted and smoldered, put off some kind of a vapor. Probably was not black, as you call it, but it was there was a film on everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything had this film on it. And the insurance company, which has been very, very helpful in all of this, employed an industrial hygienist. Didn't even know that position existed, but nevertheless, that person came in, did an assessment of the damage, and said, "This has all got to be cleaned up. This has got to be cleaned up." And so, as a result of that, we have SurfPro that has more than 60. Employees on this campus as we speak right now.
Really?
And all of them are involved in cleaning every single thing from light sockets to the floors to the windows to the ceilings. This film, the smoke got in the ventilation system up above the ceilings, and so all the ceilings are coming out. They're wiping down all the superstructure above the ceiling. It's a heck of a mess. So we closed off, Tom, 175,000 square feet of this campus. And that's what they're working on, is that 175,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And as you might imagine, that's going to take a little time.
All right.
And a little effort. And we're working on the peripheral areas first. Some of the areas will be open sooner than others. The gymnasium, the library, the conference center area, those will be back usable before too long. But the other parts of the building, we don't think have a chance to be opened in, any sooner than January.
You have,
so
Ron.
Was not much of a fire, but the aftermath of the fire is horrendous.
You have 60 people on the campus right now after that fire months ago, rehabilitating the campus and making it safe again. 60 employees, 60 Serpro people right now working on cleaning this up still.
Still, they're going to be here till at least January.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
How much? How much
is
this going to cost?
All the result of this smoke. We'll call it smoke.
Right.
Not the fire. Nothing burn up. Nothing burn up.
Yeah. It's weird because I've worked with OSHA on and off when I was working as a child or a kid. I probably shouldn't say child. It sounds like child labor laws are broken. So I work with quite
OSHA wouldn't let you do that.
No, I wouldn't. But I, on the other hand, I learned a lot about OSHA when I was very young working for New Products, a grain bin company, when it comes to safety, and in particular, grain bin dryers for wheat and corn dryer. And I learned a lot during that time period, what's available, what's, you know, you realize how bad this is. But when I listen to you talk, I'm thinking, oh, good. I'm glad to say you pointed out the insurance people have been working well with you.
Well, this total cleanup will cost millions. I don't know how many millions, but it'll cost millions. There's no question about that. All of that will be picked up by the insurance company, except what our deductible is, which I don't know what that is, a few thousand dollars.
Right.
But this is a substantial cleanup effort. It will literally cost millions of dollars to fix this up.
All right. Now, this is one of the areas that's sensitive because of HIPAA laws. I know somebody who was involved closely there at the time of the incident was released relatively quickly from the hospital. Another spent more time in there. Is there anything we can talk about those people?
Those two people were trapped in the elevator, which was right at ground zero on the fire, for about 20 minutes. They were hospitalized. One of them spent a couple or 3 days in the hospital. The other one spent a week or more in the hospital. They're both home. They're both rehabilitating. They're both doing well. They will be back to work at some point in time if they want to come back to work. And so it was certainly a terrible situation all over. But for those two people, it was a horrendous once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. But I'm happy to report They're both doing well. They were in the hospital, but they're doing well at this point in time. We're very happy about that.
The other thing that I know about OSHA, having worked with them and around them at a young age, was they always like to know how you're never going to let this happen again.
Well, speaking specifically about that transformer, which was on the inside of the building, the new transformer will be on the outside of the building.
Right.
And so 20 years ago or 25 years ago, the trend was to put these transformers inside. That's no longer the case. We're getting a new transformer. It will be on a concrete pad on the outside of the building. And so if this situation were to ever arise again, it would all be on the outside of the building and not on the inside of the building.
Right, because those... Well, I don't know where my experience comes and go with newer equipment, but the cooling fluids that were used to keep the transformers at temperature were one of the problems in the past, and I don't know about the new ones. So,
I don't know about the new ones either. I imagine they've made tremendous improvements in the design of those over the years.
Right.
And so,
don't use PCBs anymore for cooling fluid.
Yeah, that's our answer to it's not going to happen again.
Right. Glenn and Joe Pichard, a scholarship endowment for John A. Logan College?
Yes, they have. We're very pleased, as you might imagine, that the Pichard family has made this contribution to the foundation. My understanding, and I might be a little wrong on this, but my understanding is it will support students at John A. Logan College, and it will also support them in their transfer to SIU. And so... I guess that's the hazard you get when you get the former president of the SIU system on your board of trustees.
Right.
But we have other scholarships that are that way. We all know that community college is only a terminal degree for some people. Others, it's just the stepping stone to something better. And so we're very happy when organizations and people and businesses make contributions to our foundation for scholarships that begin at John A. Logan and end at SIU. We love that. That's great. And the Pichard's money will be used in that fashion. And we're very, very happy about that, and we're very proud of our relationship with the Pichard's.
All right, now here's the thing, and once again, this is a subject I talked with Brian Durham from the Community College Board. Now,
You're testing me.
Yes, that there are so often, and this is an important message. I want people to hear if they're thinking, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I'm not smart enough. I can't afford it. First off, you are smart enough, and there are a lot of great people that are on the staff at John A. Logan College to help mentor and give assistance if you need that. But there are scholarship monies left every day on the table at John A. Logan College. Every day there's financial opportunity existing. Maybe it's only the books, but you, maybe it's only the class. But if you put these together and your financial experts do this, right, you can find this is not the financially intimidating thing that you may think it is, nor is it the intellectually intimidating thing it is. There's opportunity here. The scholarship Pichard, right? But there are many others.
Oh, there, we have multiple scholarships. I can't even imagine the number of them that we have. Many of them do go unfilled each semester. We have other forms of financial aid as well that people qualify for, the federal Pell Grants and the MAP Grants and those kinds of things. Well over half of our student population is on some kind of financial support, and we're very happy about that. The intellectual part of this, let me tell you, Tom, I've been in this business a long time. I went to school half of my life. School, college, universities are based on not having to be a genius to get through, but for the average ordinary person to be able to improve the quality of their life by studying and learning and having work experiences and other things. Education is not designed for the geniuses. It's designed for everybody to be able to improve their life. And so, no, you don't have to. Everybody walking down the street smart enough to do this. You may have to pick and choose your subject area, but we all did that. And so, no, we're not quite education for the masses like the public schools, but we're very close. And so we don't turn anybody away because of low grades. We just don't do it. And so we have an open-door policy. We welcome everybody, and we will work hard to get you through in whatever discipline that you want to be in.
I enjoy talking to you every time I get the opportunity. I hate the fact you're retiring into the year because I'm going to miss our monthly talks.
You know what? Maybe we can talk off the air.
We can. I can assure you that.
We can. I enjoy them too, Tom. You're very challenging. You ask hard questions, but this is a hard business, and so I'm happy to try to address those. And I think I probably enjoyed our relationship on the radio a lot more than you have, and I do appreciate it very much. Right. The WJPF and you and the staff are an asset to Southern Illinois.